Hello everyone, welcome back. Okay, today I'm going to wrap up our series, Remember This. Do you remember? Alright, so this the goal of this series is that prayerfully, okay, that you will grow to understand and to know the heart of God for His people. Okay, in that, in return, you also respond, okay, to God, okay, in the same heart. So this is a series that we go through the book of Malachi. You know, what we have learned so far, I believe you have learned to learn how the Israelites has failed to recognize, okay, the love and the good things and the faithfulness that God has done for His people. All right, and likewise, you know, many of us, sometimes we only remember the bad things rather than the good things that people has done, okay, to us. All right, so the book of Malachi is a story about God's love for rebellious, okay, His the people of God, okay, and then, okay, God wants to remind them, okay, of His love and faithfulness, okay, towards them. You know, in part one, part two, and all those, we talk a bit about the background, okay, of the book of Malachi. You know, the name Malachi, it means my messenger. So Malachi is the last prophet, okay, that God used, and there will be a 400 years of silence before the next, okay, the prophet comes, okay, about that is John, okay, the Baptist. Okay, so my messenger, Malachi, is the last prophet to speak to the exile, because they were exiled and they are returning, they have returned, okay, to Jerusalem. So that was about 100 years, okay, after their return to Jerusalem, and they were expecting a new Jerusalem, okay, they are with high hopes, okay, to see, okay, the glory of God, the temple, and all those. But sad to say, it wasn't like this, okay? The temple has been built some years already, okay? But it wasn't too good, okay, for them. They were like, when returning that, they were expecting the Messiah, okay, will come and then, okay, will rule and give justice and peace to where they are. But it wasn't the time yet, all right? So as such, the people of Israel, okay, continue to live, okay, in such manner is unjustly, all right, in ungrateful and resulting, okay, in injustice, poverty to the nation. Okay, that's why, okay, book of Malachi, okay, God sent the word, and Malachi is to say that, okay, to this new generation, how they have become so corrupt, and bring the word of warning, okay, to, okay, them, all right? Now, so you understand in the part last week and also part one, I talk about that this book of Malachi is written in such a way, okay, with a series of argument or disputes, okay, them, okay, with the Lord. Okay, one side as you read it, okay, is what God's saying, okay, His claim, and the other side is about, okay, how the people, okay, disagree and they question God's statement, okay, and promise, and in fact accusing God. Could be that, okay, as you read on, okay, the book of Malachi, only four chapters, I believe you have read them, and if not, okay, you still have time, okay, to read, okay, the book of Malachi, okay, short book. In that sense, God responded to their disputes, and as you read them, there's about six major disputes, and when God explained and responded that the heart of people are still remain, okay, the same. So I'd like to take just a short moment to go through that, because at the last dispute, that's where we're going to talk about part four, where God say, they shall be mine. All right, now, the first dispute that we talk about, okay, that's from chapter 1, verse 2 to 5, where God say, I have loved you. But people say, how have you loved us? So we covered that in part one, okay, talking about their ungratefulness, okay. Let me say that God's love stay the same, okay, through ages, okay, for His chosen people. You know, isn't it true that God loves you and He has chosen you? And the same way, all right, that God has told His people that He has loved them and chosen them way before, okay, they were born and even they do not even know it. So that's where God reminded, okay, them, remember, okay, His love. That's why God says, I have loved you, okay, which means God loves you then, God loves you now, and He will always continue to love you. Amen? All right, now, number two, dispute is from chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 2, verse 9. And there is where in verse 6, God says, you despise my name. But the people say, how have we despised your name? Now, this dispute is about the people despising and defiling God's temple. Okay, God questioned them of how they have brought shame. And in fact, they bring sick animal, okay, to be offered to God. So when that takes place, right, it means that they did not value God. They did not honor their God. And it's not only that the people do that, the priests themselves, all right, also participate in this corrupt worship, so to speak, because they are bringing, okay, those, okay, that is shame and defiling and sick animal, okay, to be offered to the Lord. So God is asking this, where is my honor? Well, likewise, sometimes in our life, in all those, when we do those above us, okay, and how we honor, okay, our parents, okay, and those that is above us, all right? So that's where you hear from Brother Edwin that in that word, okay, God is reminding them that He is the great King, all right? And God deserves all the honor, okay, faithfulness from His people, all right? So just imagine, I was reading that, and in verse 10 caught my attention, okay? In verse 10 says this, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. Can you imagine that? It's just like today we are saying that, hey guys, what are you doing? Okay, how are you honoring God? And the way they bring their offering to the Lord was just not pleasing to the Lord. So with that, God is saying, I wish that the usher will shut the door, someone go and shut the door so that they will not come and worship me in this place, all right? Because they are profaning, okay, the temple and the altar of God. It's such serious, all right? Now, number three, chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 16. In verse 16, God said this, I will not accept your offerings. And then the people say, why does he not? You see, God in this passage, okay, God is exposing the treachery, okay, that is against him. Okay, the issue of adultery, you will read them. Okay, the issue of marriage and divorce. Okay, why? God was questioning them, okay, in the sense that they were marrying wives who worship foreign gods. And they, in that sense, they also bring in the ancestral God and therefore profane, okay, the altar of God, okay, the holy institution, okay, of God. Okay, and that's where you can find what Malachi, okay, respond by saying, no, okay, with what you are doing, okay, is a betrayer, okay, of the covenant that God has with you, okay, with the people of Israel. Okay, when you look at the Bible in the Old Testament, because this is the last book of the Old Testament, there are so many happenings, okay, before that. Okay, we can think about how Israel has married women, okay, from Moab, okay, and bring curse, okay, to people. You can read that in Numbers 25. You think about King Solomon. King Solomon married, okay, foreign women, okay, who those who have his wife, okay, there are 700 wives of the royal birth, 300 concubines. The Bible recorded in 1 Kings, okay, chapter 11, how they have took his heart away, okay, from God. All right. Now, the other one you can also think about Ahab, okay, who married Jezebel, a foreign woman, and led Israel into adultery, and how, okay, they influenced King Ahab, okay, to set up altar, okay, and worship Baal, okay, that you can read in 1 Kings chapter 16. Okay, even in New Testament, Paul says that believers, okay, do not be unequally yoked, okay, with unbelievers, because, especially when it comes to marriage. So that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, okay, verse 11 to 18. That's where when we come to read this, okay, God is saying, where is the honor? How do you uphold purity, okay, before God, okay, and so on. Okay, dispute number four is taken from chapter 2, verse 17 to chapter 3, verse 5. In verse 17, God said this, you have wearied me. And the people say, how have we wearied you? You know, this thing begins with Israelite accusing God, okay, by saying that God have neglected them. So this was the moment that they say, where is the God of justice? All right? And I covered that as well. Okay, when they were saying that corruption has somehow abounded, okay, and seems God is doing nothing about it. And it seems like the wicked are the ones who are prospering, and they are accusing God is the one, okay, who prosper, okay, them right now. So they are saying that the wicked are being blessed and they are not. Now that's where and then God replied, okay, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. God said this, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, say the Lord of hosts. So God replied that with all those that's happening, all right, and the accusation against God, God said, behold, the day will come, I will send my messenger. So God, the Lord is giving a snippet of who is to come. And of course, now we know, we read, okay, the New Testament and all those, that is John the Baptist. All right, prepare the way. Okay? That's where when we read in Matthew, we see John the Baptist came and said, prepare the way, repent. Okay, for the Lord, okay, is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. And also here you can also see that when this is read in verse 1, it's also talking about Jesus' first coming and also the second coming. Okay, it's a huge topic over there. And as we read about, Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it continues to say, but who can endure the day of his coming? Can you see all this accusation that they are going against God? And God is responding with this statement in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3. All right? Now, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Can you see? The day of the Lord is mentioned here, the second coming. All right? For he is like a refiner fire, like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. So the day of the Lord is mentioned here. It's talking about Jesus will come like fire and will purify and will remove, okay, every, okay, single, okay, sin, okay, in terms of that was mentioned in Malachi, adultery, sexual immorality, okay, injustice, okay, so that, okay, the remnant, okay, the faithful remnant will come, okay, and be his people and worship him, all right? Then we come to the fifth dispute, okay, where I talked about it last Sunday, all right? Now, chapter 3, verse 6 to 12, that's where the word, okay, return, okay, return. God is calling, okay, his people and each and every one of us, return to me, says the Lord. But the people say, how shall we return? You see, God is calling his people to return, okay, to him, but the people are saying how, and that's where God confronted them and addressed the issue of tithing. Because you look at the context, God's talking about his temple, he's talking about his altar, how the people has profaned it, okay, how they have bring things that's abomination, okay, to, okay, the temple and so on. That's where God, at this point in chapter 3, touched on the issue, okay, of tithing. All right, now, by the way, tithe is 1/10, okay, of your annual income or the produce that, okay, to be given to the temple. Okay, in that sense, in their scenario, okay, which is given to the temple and also to, okay, the Levites, the priests, okay, to for their well-being, also maintained, okay, of the temple. Okay, you can read that in Leviticus chapter 27. All right, now, so the people were neglecting their responsibility, and the temple was falling in despair. All right, disrepair. Okay, now, so God revealed himself in verse 6, okay, that says that he is the Lord that do not change. Remember? Last week, okay, I talked about the Lord that do not change. And he wants to bless them, okay, with abundance only when they are found to be faithful. So God wants us, okay, to be faithful in our tithes and offering, okay, in the sense, okay, returning, okay, to God, okay, what God has blessed us. All right, now, today, we're going to touch on the last disputes, okay, which is chapter 3, verse 13, okay, to chapter 4, verse 3, and we will complete, okay, the whole book of Malachi. All right, now, in verse 13, God said this, you have spoken against me. But the people say, how have we spoken against you? Now, let's read verse 14 and 15 to see what's the scenario over here. All right, so in verse 14, okay, the Bible written, okay, you have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, okay, or of walking as in the morning before the Lord of hosts? Verse 15, and now we call the arrogant blessed, evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to test and they escape. Can you see the story here? They're still talking about evildoers, how they have the wicked prosper and so on. And God is responding, okay, to that. And that's where, okay, they are accusing God, saying that it's in vain to serve God. it is pointless, okay, to serve God, all right? So God is responding to that, and you can know that how the people have accused, okay, God, okay, by saying so, and why the wicked people, okay, who succeed in life, and they are saying that God does nothing, okay, for them. Okay, so on this last dispute is what I'm going to talk a bit more and unpack a bit more, okay, which is part four today, that talk about God says they shall be mine, all right? Now, why? Because God, looking at all those, God noticed there is a group, of remnant, a faithful remnant who fear the Lord, all right? Now, that's where we're going to cover from verse 16 onwards, okay, for today. All right, now, are you ready? Verse 16, chapter 3 of Malachi. Then, those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name. All right. Now, verse 17, 18. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasure possession. I will spare them as man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Lord, I ask, Lord, that bless your word today, Lord, even as we look at our part four where you say, they shall be mine. And Father God, I ask even with that, as we read that, come, okay, bring understanding, okay, to each and every one of us that you love us so much, okay, that we worship, okay, a God that loves us and faithful to us. Help us, O God, to remain faithful to you as well. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say amen. So look at verse 17. Okay, God says here, says the Lord of hosts, they shall be mine. So can you see that here God noticed that there are a group of people who fear the Lord. See, all those, okay, are bringing accusation to the Lord. But that was a remnant, okay, and God saw that. Okay, and this group of remnant, they are talking to each other. We do not know what are they talking about, but something about honoring God. Okay, something about they fearing, okay, his name. All right. Now, isn't it true that humans are naturally wicked? All right. Now, that also include you and I and all of us. All right. Now, that's why God, when we read this, God's calling them to return, calling them to repent. Okay, it's a message of repentance. Okay, God wants us to be his sons and daughters, okay, who fear him, who honor him, honor his name, okay, who have faith and serve him. That's why when we read the in verse 17 and 18, okay, that's where God talks about how he saw these people, how they shall be mine, the people could see what's the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. All right, now I'd like to read, go to chapter 4, verse 1, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts, okay, to take home. All right, now Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 says this, okay, for behold, the day is coming. Can you see it's repeating again? God is warning them, okay, telling them the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Wow, that is very serious, all right? So God of Israel, okay, warned of the day that is coming. So if you will read story of end time, this is the day of the Lord. It's also known as the day of wrath, okay, the day of judgment, okay, and so on, all right? So, and then, which means when we read this, Malachi chapter 1, verse chapter 1 to 4, and you come to chapter 4, these are like the last few words, okay, of God to the people Israel. I believe that they have no idea that they're going to be a silent 400 years before John the Baptist to come, okay? These are the words that God wants them to remember. So my big question will be, what will God do on the day of judgment, okay, to those whom he called mine, all right? On the day of wrath, okay, what's going to happen? Here, give us snippets about what God, okay, going to do. And here are four thoughts, okay, that I want to leave with you. Number one, okay, when we read the passage just now, number one, I would say that God will listen. God will listen to his people. God will listen to you, okay? Who are these people that God will listen to? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, that's how we read. Okay, those who fear the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord paid attention and heard them. You know, in NIV, another version says, then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listen and hear. So in other words, what is it saying? That God noticed of this remnant, these people who fear the Lord, and God is going to listen. God is going to pay attention, okay, to this group of people. So the Bible, in a sense that highlight, okay, the word pay attention, listen, hear, a combination of use of the verbs, okay, of listen, hear, and all those, that indicate to us that the Lord has deep interest, okay, about people who fear Him, about people who worship Him, people who honor Him, people who listen, okay, to His word and obey Him, all right? So sometimes when we look at today's world, okay, people choose not to listen anymore, all right? When you think about things that you go through in life, who actually listens to you? Who cares about what you are going through, okay, today? There are just too much voices, noises, and they have shut down, okay, years of hearers and listeners, all right? Sometimes you think about all the news that's going out, and there's so much of the news that is fake, and sometimes it's just blur, okay, the understanding of people, okay, and that is serious. So God is listening to our cry, and He's the only one that will listen to our cry, okay, to our help, and He's responding. Here's some scripture I want to also highlight, that is Psalms 34, verse 17. Here you can see that God listened to those who cry. He said, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and He delivers them from all their troubles. God listens. Okay? God hears you. Okay? Psalms 34, verse 17. Psalm 66, verse 19 and 20, you will see that God listened, okay, as well now. But God, written here, God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer and withheld His love from me. You know, we just had our build conference. And one of the key things that I hear from Pastor Joe is that in all things that you do, pray. Prayer is the key. You know why? Because you have all this new technology, gadgets, new system, and all that is been introduced to the world and all those, and it keep on changing. But one thing that does not change, okay, that is your prayer to the Lord, all right? And that costs you to be disciplined, okay, to before God and pray and commune, okay, with Him, and He will tell you great and mighty things. All right, now, John 9, verse 31 says, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him. Wow, I want to encourage all of you, whenever we come to a place of worship, and you find a place of worship, a private place that you can be you and be God, worship God. And at the same time, when we come corporately, okay, we're going to pray, okay, that we're going to come back, okay, physically, and we'll worship God together. And the result is God listen. Amen? Number two, okay, what will God do? God will remember you. How many of you like people to remember you? Of course, not the bad things, all right? Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, okay, the second part says, a scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honor His name. Who keep records nowadays? I wonder, all right? Now, people tend not to save records anymore, but we know in the manufacturing world, in the medical world, there is a rule that they keep for 7 years, all right? Now, today when we think about keeping records, friends, today you have to pay, okay, for the space, okay, for the memory, the storage, okay, that you want to keep. Okay, that's why you see this cloud and all those, you got to pay for those space. But let me say that it's not with God. God remembers you. His storage is unlimited, okay? His scroll, okay, remembrance. Let me say that God remembers those who fear Him and honor Him. So our part is to fear God. Our part is to honor Him, okay, with our life, things that we do, things that we see, things that we talk and speak, our hands, our legs, what we do, okay? Let it be a life that honors Him. And then in verse 17, okay, that's where God say, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, and in the day when I make my treasure possession, God will remember you as the faithful one. It is referring to this remnant, the faithful remnant. Okay, you are His prized possession. Okay, if you are the one, okay, to fear God and honor His name. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, He also said this, right, that God is not unjust just as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name, okay, in serving the saint as you do this. So in other words, remember this. Each time when you serve God, each time when you give your time, okay, your finances, okay, to God, God is not unjust. Bible says that he will not overlook what you have, okay, done for him. You know, sometimes the working place, you've done so much, you stay overnight, and no one even notice. Okay, especially sometimes you come to a culture where your boss or superior not even notice the hard work that you have done. Let me tell you that God will not overlook, okay, all those things that you had done for you. The other version says that he will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him. Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, third one. What will God do? Okay, when he said, you shall be mine, they shall be mine. God will spare you. Okay, in verse 17, the second part, 18. Okay, he said, I will spare them just as in compassion a man spare his son who served him. Then once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. You may wonder, spare from what? Friends, God is talking about the judgment day. Okay, talking about the day of wrath, okay, to his people. And in this case, God will spare them, okay, of this future wrath of judgment. Okay, how do I know? Because the next few words tell us the same. Because you will see that one side, okay, is talking about the sin of the priest, okay, who have failed to make distinction, okay, of between the way of holiness and the way of sin. Can you see that? So that's where in verse 18 it says, then once more you shall see the distinction of righteous, the righteous and wicked. For them, they couldn't see it, right? So that's where God, okay, against all those, okay, who have profaned against them. So in other words, when we read in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, on the day of coming, burning like oven, the day of wrath, all the arrogant and all the evildoers, okay, they will be set ablaze. Okay, God will punish all evildoers. Sinners will be burnt up on the way of fire. Then when you read in verse 2, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but for you, okay, God will spare you, right? So, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healings in his wing. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Friends, those who revel him, those who fear him, those who honor him. Friends, this talking about calves, young calves, they are having joy and gladness and joyness as a joy that's overflow, and it shall be you. All right, now, as I close, in other words, okay, the book of Malachi closes his book, reminding us of two faithful prophets, Moses and Elijah. All right, verse 4 of chapter 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. God is telling them, hey, remember my servant Moses. Sometimes when you have good workers, right, and whether the bosses are talking about, hey, do you remember Chive? Okay, do you remember so-and-so? Okay, who have been faithful, all right, now. So what does God mean that he's talking about remember the law? In other words, God is saying that don't forget what happened in Horeb. You know, there are a number of things happen in Horeb. And when you read that, right, so there's also a place where, I believe, all right, that's where Moses was called. It's also a place where God gave the word and how God says that, remember how I brought you on eagle wings, all right, when they were out from Egypt. And there was also a place that God's power and glory came down on Mount Horeb. That's where also God revealed his love, okay, for his children. Okay, he revealed his love and holiness and so make a covenant. And he taught them the way of life. You know, a lot of things take place in Mount Horeb. Okay, or the other name that is attached to Mount Horeb is the Mount Sinai. Okay, you read them, you go and find out. All right, so he's talking about his everlasting joy and love and his commandment, statutes, ordinances, okay, that was taken place at there. Say, remember that. All right, so with that, friends, the power of darkness and worldliness will fight your mind, okay, your things that you do every day, okay. But God says that he will spare you, you can fight back and remember the Lord, what God has done for you. Again, when talking about Mount Horeb, it's about holiness. Okay, holiness is the way of life, all right. Big subject there, okay, we'll cover another time, all right. The fourth one, okay, what Malachi is bringing forth what will God do when God says this shall be mine. Okay, God will restore you. So we look at chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, and we are closing. Verse 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the second prophet, okay, that was mentioned in the book of Malachi, okay, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, the day of the Lord. So this second prophet, okay, mentioned is Elijah, which means the day of restoration will come the same time the day of judgment. Okay, it's coming. And that's why God is sending, okay, and Elijah before the great and dreadful day, okay, which is the second coming of the Lord. So it's interesting to note that the closing of the words of the Old Testament and also the New Testament. All right, Old Testament, okay, mentioned about Moses and Elijah. And how many of us realize that one common thing about them is that they met God at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. Okay, you can find that in Exodus chapter 3 or 1 Kings chapter 19. In the New Testament, both of them meet Jesus, okay, in the Mount called Mount of Transfiguration. You can read that in Matthew chapter 17. All right, so the connection, okay, that make what happened in the Old Testament and also New Testament of both Moses and Elijah. Okay, Moses and Elijah live in different time, but they meet Jesus, okay, in the New Testament. Okay, now, verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and their hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with decree of utter destruction. Now, it's scary to note that, okay, the book of Malachi or Old Testament ended with some kind of a curse statement, all right? But let me tell you that God will restore everything back to its ideal, okay, condition. Okay, God promised of reconciliation, okay, will take place. Okay, reconciliation of families. God has in mind that turning, okay, people turning to God, okay, to their fathers, to the faith, to the patriarchs, and so on. Okay, relationship between God, okay, and every one of us, okay, will be restored. Relationship with one another will be restored. Then you will see also relationship, okay, the balance, okay, if all this relationship will be restored, everything will be restored, okay, at the end of the day, all right? Now, Old Testament closes with this threat of curse, lest I come and strike. And with that, right, the last verse of the Old Testament, and I want you to also go to the last few verses, okay, in the New Testament, all right? Now, let's look at Revelation 22, verse 3. Malachi end with this statement of curse, but in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, end with this, saying, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servant will serve him. Can you see how wonderful, how God journeyed this, okay, the route that he has for his people? And of course, the last verse in the New Testament closes with Revelation 22, verse 21, that says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, be with you all. Amen. All right. So as I close for the real, God wants his people, okay, to always keep the law of remembrance. Remember, okay, what God has done for you, his love, his faithfulness, okay, towards you, and make it a lifestyle. Okay, remember what God has done for you. Now, obedience is the main, greatest, and only expression of love to God. And likewise, you know, in our family circle, our parents will always want their children to obey them. You know, obedience will always be the expression of love. But again, when we look at it, despite all man's failure, despite all we have learned from the Old Testament about how the people of Israel has failed him, yet, okay, God still choose to love them. That means God's love is steadfast. He never changed, okay, in that manner. In the times when, in the midst of God's man's hopelessness, God is always there, okay, to love them. Amen? All right, so verse 17, they shall be mine. Let me pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we study on the book of Malachi, okay, knowing you of a God that loves each and every one of us. Okay, time that we look at how this book, okay, has journeyed and being the last prophet to warn the people. Father, I pray, oh God, Lord, even as we look at the response, okay, of the Israelites, that also will speak to each and every one of us. Sometimes how we have behaved, somehow we have responded to God, accusing God, argue with God and all those. But let us remember. Let us be the people, the remnant. Be like the remnant, the faithful one, okay, who fear you and honor you. Father, I thank you that you put in your word that say, they shall be mine. I thank you for the comfort that you give in the last book of Malachi, that you will choose to listen, that you will choose to remember and choose to respect, okay, and restore each and every one of us. I give thanks once again. Commit all of us into your hands. May your love, okay, be spread, okay, abroad. Love that we have, we also share it to others as well. Bless each and everyone. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, everyone say, amen. So God bless you.